Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. We have a few more laughs with Billy Burke this week. Very few of these hilarious shows survived. This week we have Billy Burke volunteering her brother Julius for a charity carnival to please his prospective employer. It will be hard to keep his dignified reputation when he acts as a clown. Billy Burke was the daughter of a circus clown, and the family toured Europe entertaining in a circus when she was a child. Enjoy the Billy Burke Show, Carnival, first broadcast July 27, 1946 on CBS.
Listerine toothpaste, that quick-acting, grand-tasting dentifrice with the fresh minty tang, presents The Billy Burke Show. Get two or more women together, and chances are, sooner or later, they'll start talking about nylon stockings. Well, if you're tired of just talking about nylons and think it's time you got some, why not enter the weekly Listerine toothpaste contest? First prize is 12 pairs of exquisite nylons of note by Holproof, the famous quality stockings which feature a choice of three different leg lengths in each size. There are four more prizes of 6 pairs each, and 10 extra prizes of 2 pairs apiece. And this is such a simple contest to enter. All you have to do is complete the sentence, "I like Listerine toothpaste because..." I'll give you the three easy rules of the contest a little later, so have a pencil and paper ready to take them down. Right now, I have good news for 5 lucky people, the 5 top winners for the 5th week's contest. First prize, 12 pairs of gorgeous nylons of note by Holproof, went to Edith Hensley of Baltimore, Maryland. 6 pairs were won by Mrs. Marion Ruchel of Albany, New York. Another 6 pairs went to Mrs. A.F. Connor of Morristown, Tennessee. Still another 6 pairs were won by Miss Angela Polito of Villa Park, Illinois. And Bertha Greenberg of Flint, Michigan also won 6 pairs. Listerine toothpaste sends heartiest congratulations to you all. And here she is, that smiling, bright morning star, our misleading lady, Miss Billy Burke.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
As we join our friends in the little white house on Sunnyview Drive, we find Miss Burke and her housekeeper, Daisy, in the living room. It's a warm summer morning, the beginning of a beautiful day, and Daisy is just saying,
"Where'd your brother Julius go in such a hurry this morning, Miss Billy? Land, he took out of the house like a cyclone."
Oh, brother Julius had an appointment with Mr. Brooks, Van Brooks, at the Brooks Baby Buggy Bumper Company.
Mr. Brooks, Van Brooks?
Van Brooks, yes.
Oh, I've heard of him. He's a pretty big man, ain't he?
Well, I'd say he weighs about 160 pounds, Daisy. I wouldn't know.
Oh, no, ma'am. I mean, he's got a pretty important job in the Baby Buggy Bumper Company.
Oh, yes, I'm certain he has. I believe he has charge of the lumber department.
Oh.
Julia says he's the chairman of the board. Of course, he didn't say which board Mr. Van Brooks was chairman of.
I figured Mr. Julius had something cooking the way he gobbled up his breakfast and ran.
I'll tell you a secret, Daisy. Julius went to law school, you know, and...
Oh, you mean Mr. Julius is a lawyer?
Oh, certainly. He can examine cross witnesses and tell when things are irreverent and immature. He graduated from law school with high honors. He has a degree of OPA.
Oh! What if Mr. Julius is a lawyer? What's he going to do in a factory? Oh, he going to make lawsuit?
Oh, they not really, Daisy. I can't stand it. You're so funny. No, he gives the company legal advice. You know, like ipso facto and e pluribus unum. Oh,
and that's
going to
be Mr. Julius's job, huh?
Well, Julius is hoping it will. He's been talking to Mr. Van Brooks about it for weeks.
What's holding things up?
Holding things up. Oh, yes. Oh, you mean, why hasn't Mr. Van Brooks hired him already? Well, it seems that Mr. Van Brooks is not quite convinced that Julius can control his temper. He has a terrible temper, as you know, Daisy.
You telling me?
And Mr. Van Brooks is still a little doubtful if Julius is dignified enough for the position. So now Julius is trying his best to convince Mr. Van Brooks that he has a nice temper and that he's very dignified.
That ain't gonna be easy.
Oh, no, that's true. Julius is easily aroused. He'll fly off the handles at the drop of a pen. But he's trying to do better. Dear, I hope he gets that job at the Baby Buggy Bumper Company. It will mean so much to him. I'll get it, Daisy. Hello? Hello? I beg your pardon. Oh, Mrs. Van Brooks. Oh, yes. This afternoon. Goodness, I'd almost forgotten. Will I? Well, of course, yes. Yes, I see. A man to help. Well, I'm sure my brother Julius will be glad to help. Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mrs. Van Brooks. Yes, see you this afternoon. Bye-bye. Good gracious, Daisy, I'd completely forgotten what day this was.
Well, what day is it, not counting Saturday?
Why, today is the Ladies' Club Charity Carnival. That was Mrs. Van Brooks, and she wants me to take charge of one of the concessions. Isn't it exciting? Just imagine me standing in front of my concession shouting, right this way, see the lion and the tigers, see the man-eating giraffe and the talking elephant.
Land alive, Miss Billy, you ain't going to have them things in your concession.
Oh, silly, no, of course not. I just say that to make the people buy tickets.
Oh.
Remember the words of that famous circus man, what is his name, Boatman or something?
Barnum. Like
Barnum. Oh, really, Barnum. Well, Mr. Barnum said people love to be fooled. It was also Mr. Barnum who said there's someone born every minute. So, Daisy, if it's true that people love to be fooled, who am I to deny them a little happiness?
Okay, I ain't going to argue.
No.
Well, this Mrs. Van Brooks, is she the Mrs. Van Brooks?
The Mrs. Oh, naturally, she must be. Mrs. Van Brooks is the president of the Saturday Evening Ladies Club, and Mr. Van Brooks is chairman of the boards at the Brooks Baby Buggy Bumper Company, you know. You see how perfectly it's going to work out?
I sure
Julius
do.
Julius will help me at the concession this afternoon. That will please Mrs. Van Brooks. Then Mr. Van Brooks will give Julius the job. You see, the gears of fate are just gnashing perfectly.
Well, maybe it's going to be all right. Sounds pretty good.
Hello, Billy.
Oh, Julius, I'm so glad you're home.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Oh, I have some perfectly delightful news to tell you. But first, how did you get along with Mr. Van Brooks this morning? Were you dignified? Did you control your temper?
Of course I controlled my temper.
Well, I'm glad.
You think I'm a child?
No.
I'd like to know where people get the idea that I have a bad temper. The next person that says I have a bad temper, I'm going to bust right square in the nose.
Now you see, there you go, losing that temper again. Shame on you, Julius.
Who's losing his temper? I can talk, can't I?
Julius!
I just... Oh, all right, I did. But I'm getting control of it. I think I made a pretty good impression on old BVD this morning.
BVD?
BB.
Oh, Mr. Brooks Van Brooks. Well, of course. Oh, well, I'm so glad for your sake, Julius. Were you very dignified?
Sure, I was dignified. Dignified as a deacon.
Good for you, Julius. Well, you're practically assured of the position with the factory.
What do you mean?
Well, Mrs. Van Brooks is president of our ladies' club, and we are having a charity carnival this afternoon.
Oh?
I'm going to have charge of a concession, and I told Mrs. Van Brooks that you'd be glad to help me. You see the connection?
Yes. Not bad. Not a bad
no,
idea.
No, I thought not.
In fact, for you, Billy, it's phenomenal.
Oh, Julius, you flatterer.
Yes, that ought to put me in pretty solid with BVB. Yep. What do I have to do?
Well, that's the nice part of it. You don't really have to do anything at all. You just stand.
Just stand?
Yes, just stand with your head through a hole in a piece of canvas.
My head through a hole!
Mm-hmm. We have sort of a tent. It's open in front, and I have a little counter there. And in the back of the tent, there's a round hole. And all you have to do is put your head through the hole while people throw little balls at you. Simple?
Mm-hmm. Do you mean that you told Mrs. Van Brooks that I was going to do that?
Well, I told her you were going to help me. You mean you don't want to?
Great boiling bulrushes! I'm supposed to be a clown now. An idiot!
No, Judy, you're not a clown at all or an idiot. Standing with one's head through a hole while people throw little balls at you is perfectly legitimate occupation.
Legitimate.
It's good, clean fun, and think of the contacts you'll make.
Yes! That's what I am thinking about. And I won't do it. Here I've been knocking myself out trying to prove to old man Van Brooks that I'm dignified.
Well,
I just about had him convinced, and now you want me to go to his wife's charity doings and make a fool out of myself.
No.
No. Now, you call up Mrs. Van Brooks and you tell her I refuse. Absolutely refuse.
Well, all right. But I think you're cutting off your own nose to spite my face. Mrs. Van Brooks said her husband would be very pleased to know you were willing to cooperate with our club. I don't know how Mr. Van Brooks will feel about it either if you back out now.
Yes, you're probably right. Well, what am I going to do?
Simply come out to the carnival this afternoon. Help me at the concession. Have fun. Join in the sport.
Join in the sport. Mm-hmm. Fine sport. Letting a lot of people throw balls in my head. Why, they'll kill me.
Oh, Julia, don't be ridiculous. They don't hit you with the ball.
No, why not?
Why, you dodge skillfully. Left, right, up, down. That's what makes the game so fascinating. That's why the people pay their money. They try to hit you, but each time you dodge. You can just imagine how exciting it will be.
Yes, I can imagine.
Uh-huh.
What if I don't happen to dodge just right? Then what?
Then the man gets a pair of nylons.
No, I'm talking about me. My head. What happens to my head?
Nothing. Nothing at all. You just get a gentle little tap with the ball. It's absolutely harmless, Julius. You can't possibly be hurt.
Oh, I can't be, huh?
No.
Well, that's some consolation. What kind of balls are they going to use?
Oh, just little regular-sized baseballs.
Little regular-sized baseballs. Great Scott, Billy Burke! Those things are heavy. Think what that will do to my head if those baseballs hit me.
Well, don't be selfish, Julius. Think what it will do to the baseballs.
Of all the people in the world, all the people in the world, why? Why did I have to get you for a sister?
I don't know, Julius. I guess you were just lucky.
Listen, Billy, can you imagine how I'm going to look out there with my head stuck through that hole?
I think you'd be handsome. Well, Julius, we might even paint some palm trees on the canvas, you know, and make it look like a jungle. And then you pretend you're a gorilla man peering through the trees. Would you like that?
No, I wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't?
I think the whole idea is the most ridiculous thing ever perpetrated on a human being.
Oh, Julius, you sound just like a lawyer. That's such a nice word, isn't perpetuated? I've tried to use it several times, but it always comes out perpetuated. But I don't know what it means anyway, so I haven't really lost anything, have I?
Billy, I'm trying to control my temper. I'm trying hard, but there's a limit to a man's endurance. Now tell me. Tell me in words of one syllable. Who is going to be at this carnival this afternoon?
In words of one syllable, who is going to be? Nobody. Just people.
I know. What people? Who are the people?
Oh, there'll be lots of people. Probably Mr. and Mrs. Lambert. You know Mr. Lambert. You've met him once or twice.
Yes.
He's the paymaster of the Pea Pickers Union. And then there'll be Mr. and Mrs. Nestbaum. Mr. Nestbaum is in cutlery and stew pans at Bigelow's Hardware Store.
Yes,
you've seen
yes.
him. And then there'll be Mrs. Gibbons and Mr. Gibbons, our landlord.
Gibbons? You mean that crook, that low-down...
Mr. Julius, we must forgive and forget. After all, you beat Mr. Gibbons in the sailboat race.
That's just the trouble. He's waiting for a chance to get even. And if he sees me with my head through that hole and baseballs, he'll hammer my brains out.
Not if you dodge skillfully, Julius.
Oh,
and just think of the money he'll be spending, trying, you know. Oh, I really believe our concession is going to show a handsome profit. Julius, there must be lots of other people who are mad at you.
Yeah, hundreds of them.
Well,
why?
We should invite them, you know. We could take in thousands of dollars.
Oh, what a time you pick to get me into a mess like this. I'm shooting at the biggest job in my whole career. I'm trying to be dignified. And now this. What if Van Brooks shows up there? If he sees me out there making a fool of myself, I'm cooked.
Now, Julius, you're jumping in contusions. Remember the old saying, don't cross your bridges till your bread is buttered. I'm sure Mr. Van Brooks won't be at the carnival this afternoon. And if he should come, he'll surely never recognize you.
Won't recognize me?
Well, of course not. We're going to put burnt cork on your face and a wig. And then if Mr. Van Brooks appears, you simply shout, Mammy.
Mammy? And who is he supposed to think that I am?
Oh, Julius, the man all the Bobby Soxers are raving about. That man, Van Jolson.
Oh.
You know.
Thank you.
I can tell you how you can help improve yourself from top to toe. Or perhaps I should say, your looks at top and toe. Here's how. Use the famous cleansing prescription for your teeth, Listerine toothpaste. It's designed to give you special pinpoint cleansing and to help bring out the natural flash and brilliance of your teeth. Yes, Listerine toothpaste can help bring out your top smile. Next, to flatter your toes, make your legs look prettier. Try your luck at winning beautiful, flattering nylons of note by Holdproof in the Listerine toothpaste contest. Now, here are the rules. 1. Complete the following sentence in 25 words or less. I like Listerine toothpaste because... 2. Write or print your entry together with your name, address, and stocking size. Be sure to also include your leg length, short, medium, or long. 3. Enclose the side, or facsimile of the side, of a Listerine toothpaste box. But, and this is important, the side you enclose must be the one that carries the Good Housekeeping seal. Mail your entry, as many entries as you like, to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York. The address again, Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York. Remember, there's a different contest every week. Every week, you'll have an opportunity to win first prize, 12 pairs of nylons of note by Holdproof, 4 other prizes of 6 pairs each, or 10 extra prizes of 2 pairs apiece. Get in this grand contest today. Mail your entry with your name, address, stocking size, and length, and the side of a Listerine toothpaste box to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York. Now let's go back to Miss Burke's house and see how she's getting along with her plans for the carnival concession and Brother Julius. Miss Burke has been rummaging around upstairs, and now she hurries back down to the living room.
Oh, quick, Julius, come here. I have a beautiful idea.
Whatever it is, the answer is no. Oh. No, no. I've had enough of your ideas
now,
for one day.
Don't be unreasonable, Julius. We have to be out at the carnival in less than an hour, and you've got to practice.
Practice what?
Why, dodging the baseballs. You don't want them to hit you on the head, and furthermore, every time they hit you, we have to give someone a pair of nylons. And we only have those 12 pairs that Mrs. Brooks won on that wonderful Listerine toothpaste contest, you know.
All I ask is that Van Brooks doesn't find out about it. I don't care what else happens.
Don't you even care if we make money? Don't you care if our concession is a succession?
No. And what's more, it's not our concession. I'm in it only because I was trapped, snared, betrayed behind my back. If I could get out of this mess any way at all, you wouldn't see me for dust.
Oh, Julius.
What's the matter?
I have a feeling that you are not happy.
Not happy? Now listen, Billy,
I only told Mrs. Van Brooks you'd help at the carnival because I thought it would help you.
Yes, I know.
I'm sorry, Julius. I don't know why I do such awful things.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Billy. Wait a minute. It's not that awful.
Yes, it is. I made you unhappy.
No, you haven't.
You don't want to help at the carnival. You don't want to stick your head through the hole in the canvas and have people throw baseballs at you.
Yes, I do. I do, Billy.
No.
Don't cry. I want to help with the carnival. I love to have people throw baseballs at me.
Really, you do? Oh, Julius, you're very sweet. It was just a misunderstanding, wasn't it?
Yes, I guess so.
I love my big brother. You love your little sister?
Little sister, my affection is exceeded only by my desire to open your little head and see what's inside of it.
Oh, Julius, you can say the loveliest things. But we must get down to business.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm going to hang this blanket up here in the archway. I've cut a hole in the middle of it. That's for you to put your head through.
Yeah, but why?
Well, we're going to practice, Julius. Daisy and I are going to throw things at you, and you're going to dodge just the way you do at the carnival.
What are you going to throw?
Well, I couldn't find any baseballs, but Daisy has some stale biscuits and some old cinnamon rolls. All right, now, put your head through the hole. Go on, push.
Oh,
that's it.
If anybody sees me doing this, I'll never live it down. Me, Julius Burke, attorney. dodging stale cinnamon rolls.
We haven't got any fresh ones, I'm sorry. Now, you'll be happy you did. All righty. Come on. Bring the cinnamon rolls.
I got them, Miss Billy.
Good. Now, Julius, when we throw, you...
Great yowling catfish. Somebody's at the door. Let me get out of this blanket. Oh, get me out of here, Billy.
Julius, don't struggle. Nobody's going to see you. I'll see who it is.
Oh, murder.
Oh, dear. Oh. How do you do?
How do you do? I'm Brooks Van Brooks. Oh. Is Mr. Julius Burke here?
Brooks.
Oh, yes, he is, Mr. Brooks Van Brooks. But you see, we're...
Thank you very much. Now, I won't stay but a moment.
Oh,
I just
you.
Want to do... Well, Mr. Burke.
Hello, BBB.
Well, what in heaven's name are you doing with your head through that blank?
Why, you see...
Mr. Julius is practicing, Mr. Van Brooks. You see, he's...
Oh. Yes, I was just showing my sister one of the ancient Hindu tortures. Saw it on one of my trips through India.
Torture?
Yes, they call it sacrifice in a blanket. Very painful.
Yes, I can imagine. Well, I'm in a hurry, Julius. Just step in to see if you'd like to play a round of golf with me this afternoon and talk about that position with our company.
Sure, BBB. I'll certainly be glad to...
Julius, have you forgotten?
What?
Well, Julius is terribly sorry, Mr. BVB, but he promised to help out at the charity carnival this afternoon.
But, Billy!
Right. I'm glad you reminded me, Miss Burke. My wife's in on that affair, and I told her I'd show up. Well, I guess we'll have to play golf some other time, Julius.
Yes.
Some other time.
Well, I'll have to get back home. See you at the carnival, Julius. Goodbye.
Goodbye, BVB. You see me at the carnival. Billy Burke, why did you have to tell him I was going to be there?
Oh,
of all the dim-brained, short-sighted, thoughtless
dumbheads,
my chance, my big chance, gone right out the window.
Which window, Julius?
Now I am sunk. He'll see me out there making a jackass out of myself, and Bluey, he'll never let me into his office again. He won't even speak to me again.
Julius, that's not the proper attitude.
Not the proper attitude?
No, you're just imagining a lot of horrible things. You've got to look on the bright side. You've got to be an optometrist. Now we'll just go out to the carnival. We won't worry. Why, with all the people out there, Mr. Van Brooks will never see you. Goodness, it'll be just like finding a needle in a hayride. All right, ladies and gentlemen, step right this way and try your skill. Hit the Dodger and win the pair of nylon. 3 balls for 25 cents, 5 for a dime. Hit the man on the head. And you'll get a pair of nylon.
Take it easy, Billy. Not so loud. Somebody's liable to hear you.
I want them to hear me, Julius. All the other concessions are making money hand over foot. And we haven't had a single customer.
That's fine. Let's keep it that way.
Julius, you look so sad. That's why no one tries to hit you. Can't you look fierce? Can't you look mean?
No. I never thought that I'd wind up with my face covered with soot and my head stuck through a hole in a carnival tent.
Well?
I'm a defeated man. Oh. I feel low enough to cry.
Oh, you mustn't do that, Julius. Your mascara will run.
Billy, for heaven's sake, do something. Here comes Van Brooks. Close up the place. Tell him you're out of business.
Oh, but I can't do that. Quick, Julius. Look like somebody else.
Who?
Well, I don't know anybody. Just anybody.
I can't think of anybody.
Well, it's too late now. Oh, how good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Van Brooks. How are you? Lovely morning, isn't it?
How do you do, Miss Burke? Looks as if the carnival's a big success,
yes,
eh?
Yes, things are just humming and buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ridden on that merry-go-round yet over there, Mr. Van Brooks? It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm a little too old for that sort of thing.
Oh, touch.
I thought I'd try my luck at your baseball throwing, though.
Well, I don't think you'd enjoy it very much. It really isn't any fun at all. In fact, it's very dangerous.
Dangerous?
Oh, yes, indeed. The last man who came in threw his arm right out of the socket, out of the joint or something. It just flew out.
I can assure you I won't throw my arm out of the joint. I was a professional pitcher once, you know, in baseball.
Oh,
sort of like to see if I can still use the old arm and throw a ball.
Yes.
Say, the fellow with his head through the hole, that Dodger, isn't that... Why, it's Julius. Well, hello, Julius.
Oh, dear.
Oh, BBB, yes, it's me. I couldn't help it, but I can explain.
No need to explain at all.
No.
Let's see, Miss Burke, give me 5 balls.
Oh, dear.
I think I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, not too hard, Mr. Van Brooks. Julius is a little rustic.
Well, but... I'll knock the rust off him in a hurry. Here, duck this one.
Oh, Mr. Van Brooks, you hit him right on the head. Please be careful. You'll give him a skull fraction.
Oh, so you want to get tough about it, huh, Van Brooks? All right, go ahead, you big stuffed shirt. Oh, try to hit me again. Go ahead, I dare you.
Think I can, do you?
Oh, dear.
Well, get out of the way of this one.
Oh, goody, you missed. Hooray!
You're a windbag, Van Brooks. You couldn't hit the side of a barn if you were locked inside. You couldn't pitch your way through a wet newspaper.
Oh, is that so? Here, here's $10, Miss
Brooks. Oh, my goodness.
Stack up those balls. I'll show him who's a windbag.
Good gracious, yeah. $10, and there's a crowd gathering. Now, be careful, Mr. Van Brooks.
I'll hit that head of his that rings like a Chinese dog.
Oh, please.
Oh!
Aha, gotcha that time. Give me room. I'm in the groove.
Oh, you were lucky, that's all. You can't do it again. Oh. You're a bum, Van Brooks. You're a great big bum.
A bum, am I? Why, you...
Wait. A bum. A bum.
Covered with bumps. It looks just like a sack full of apples.
Be careful, Billy. You're killing me.
I'm only rubbing some liniment on it. Oh, poor Julius. I'm so terribly sorry. It's all my fault. That awful Mr. Brooks.
He's still a bum.
Yes, he's a bum. You shouldn't have called him such bad names, though, Julius. You made him so awfully mad. Why, he was positively infatuated.
Yeah, I know. But he made me plenty mad, too. I lost my temper, Billy, but it's too late now. I've lost my job.
It wasn't fair. There was no reason for him to get mad just because you did.
No.
Goodness, he must have spent $25 throwing balls at you.
$25? The way my head feels, it was more like 100. Oh, what a day.
It's an ill wind that blows no early bird. Mr. Van Brooks attracted a crowd, and we did more business than any other concession at the carnival. Oh, dear. Someone's at the door. I'm coming. Oh, Mr. Van Brooks.
I came over to apologize. I'm sorry, Julia.
You're still a bum.
Oh, Julius, Julius. Forgive and forget. Let bygones be has-beens.
I acted pretty mean this afternoon. I lost my temper. I was a big fool. When I got home and discovered how much money I'd spent throwing those balls, I suddenly realized that you had outsmarted me.
Oh, but you just didn't do it on purpose, Mr. Van Brooks. He just momentarily flew off the handlebars, you know.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. It was very plain to me that you were simply putting on an act, Julius. You didn't lose your temper at all, did you?
No? Well, what do you call it?
Oh, no trick of show business. Make him mad. My wife showed me the report on the carnival. Your concession topped everything else. Good business, my boy. Any man who can outsmart me, I want for a friend. What do you say, Julius?
Well, okay, BBB. I thought you'd realize that I was only kidding.
Atta boy.
Oh, dear.
You're a good man. Good enough to be the attorney for the Brooks Baby Buggy Bumper Company as of tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow? Well, fine. But these bumps on my head.
Oh, Julius, I'm so proud of you. And don't worry about the bumps. Out at the carnival, you proved one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
You certainly have a head for making money.
I do.
Calling all women who like pretty clothes. Calling all women who have a yen for nylon stockings. Try your lady luck at winning lovely nylons of note by Holproof in the Listerine Toothpaste Contest. If you haven't already made a note of the three simple rules for the contest, take them down now. The rules are, one, complete the following sentence in 25 words or less. I like Listerine Toothpaste because. Two, write or print your entry together with your name, address, and stocking size. Be sure to also include your leg length, short, medium, or long. Three, enclose the side or facsimile of the side of a Listerine Toothpaste box. But this is important. The side you enclose must be the one that carries the Good Housekeeping seal. Mail your entry to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York. Independent judges will award prizes for originality, interest, and sincerity. Duplicate prizes in case of ties. The judge's decision will be final and no entries will be returned. All entries and ideas submitted become the property of Lambert Pharmacal Company. The contest is open to all except employees of Lambert Pharmacal Company and associated companies. Why not get in this easy contest today? Mail your entry with your name, address, stocking size and length, and the side of a Listerine toothpaste box carrying the Good Housekeeping seal to Listerine Contest, Post Office Box 491, Times Square, New York 18, New York.
Goodbye, Mrs. Miller. Goodbye, everybody, till next Saturday. And remember to always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
The Billy Berg Show is produced by Axel Gruenberg. Today's story was written by Paul West. The part of Daisy is played by Lillian Randolph, and Earl Ross is our Julius. Music is under the direction of Carl Bonowitz. Tune in again next Saturday when the makers of Listerine Toothpaste again present The Billy Berg Show. For the best in Saturday listening, don't miss Let's Pretend, The Billy Berg Show, and Armstrong's Theater of Today. Your announcer is Marvin Miller. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have Billy Burke in charge of keeping a friend's money safe. Lillian Randolph plays Daisy, the very practical housekeeper who tries to rein in some of Billy's more scatterbrained ideas. Lillian Randolph was a famous character actress who had a long career in radio, television, and movies. The Billy Burke Show, $1,000 Bill, first broadcast August 24th, 1946 on CBS.
Listerine Toothpaste, that quick-acting, grand-tasting dentifrice with the fresh minty tang, presents The Billy Burke Show. And here she is, our smiling, bright morning star, our misleading lady, Miss Billy Burke.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Now let's look in at the little white house on Sunnyview Drive. It's a bright summer morning, and in the kitchen, Miss Burke and Daisy are having breakfast. Brother Julius left last night on a business trip, so Miss Burke and Daisy have the house all to themselves. Surely this is going to be a quiet and uneventful weekend. Or is it? Let's peek into the kitchen.
Oh, and just think, Daisy, we don't have to do anything if we don't want to. While Julius is away, we can have a real vacation. I feel just like a cat out of the bag.
It's going to be mighty quiet around here without Mr. Julius.
Yes, but won't it be nice? For a change, I mean. Nothing happening. It will be such a relief from that constant palladium. Goodness, how long has it been since we enjoyed a leisurely breakfast like this?
Hmm? Oh, not since Mr. Julius was in bed with the measles.
No, that's right, Daisy.
More milk, Miss Miller?
Yes, please, Daisy. Oh, dear, someone at the door. Come in. Who is it?
Colonel Fitz, Billy.
Oh, Colonel Fitz. Well, come in, Fitzy. We're in the kitchen.
Good morning, Billy. Good morning, Daisy.
Good morning, Colonel.
Won't you have a bite of breakfast, Colonel?
How could I refuse a lady as lovely as you, Billy?
Oh, waffle batter. You're just hungry. Oh, incidentally, we're having waffles. Would you like one? Of course you would. Daisy, will you bring a Colonel Fitz a nice, crispy one with syrup?
Two just coming off the assembly line.
They smell delicious.
Oh, and they're so tender, you can cut them with a knife.
Ah. Light as a sunbeam.
Oh, my Fitzy, you use the nicest words. I wish I had your vocabulary. Julia says I don't know an adjective from a preposterous. Well, I do, really.
Delicious waffle. Melt in my mouth.
Light as a sunbeam. Oh, I have a perfect idea. Daisy and I could go into business. We could call ourselves the Sunbeam Waffle Bakers. All we need is a little shop
And what about the OPA?
Well, we could open a shop there, too. All we need is some...
Excuse me, Billy. I very nearly forgot. I came over to ask you a favor.
A favor?
Yes, yes. I have $1,000 here in cash.
Oh, my.
Will you keep it for me until tomorrow morning?
Keep it for $1,000 in money? Cash in the barrel house?
Yes, yes. Right here, $1,000 bill, see?
Oh, goodness.
Now, I'm going out of town overnight, and I must be back here in the morning to complete a business deal. I'd rather not carry $1,000 with me. I don't want to leave it in the house while I'm gone, either. Would you mind if I left it here with you?
$1,000? All in that little piece of paper? Oh, goodness. But well, certainly you may leave it here. Do you want to trust us with it?
I'd trust you with anything, Billy. You know that.
Oh, really? Well, that's awfully sweet of you, but dear me, that's an awful lot of money, isn't it?
You aren't afraid to have it in the house, are you, Billy?
Afraid? Oh, heavens no, that little piece of paper can't hurt anyone.
Thank you so much. I'll feel a lot better knowing it's in safe hands.
Oh, yes, naturally.
And thank you for the waffle.
Oh.
I have to hurry downtown now. I'll see you first thing in the morning, Billy. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Miss Billy, is that a real $1,000 bill?
Oh, yes. Colonel Fitz left it here for us to take care of until tomorrow morning. Oh, look, isn't it pretty? Here, Daisy, hold it.
Not me. I don't want to touch it.
Gracious, it won't bite.
I know, but that's too much money for one hunk of paper. What are we going to do with it?
Well, just keep it for Colonel Fitz. We're just storing it for him like a charge account at the bank, you know.
All day today and all night tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Billy, I don't like being on the same roof with that much money.
But I don't understand, Daisy. No one knows we have it except us.
That's what I mean. You and I are the only ones except Colonel Fitz who knows it's here. So if anything happens, we're going to be in trouble.
Yes, I hadn't thought of it that way. Daisy, I know what we're going to do. I have the solution right in a nutshell. We'll take this $1,000 bill and hide it. We'll hide it so nobody can find it.
That's a good idea, but who's going to hide it?
Well, you hide it, then I won't know where it is.
Yeah, but I'll know, and I don't want to. You hide it.
Me hide, but if I hide it, then I'll know where it is. Goodness, I'm in such a state now, I don't trust anybody. Not even me.
Well, one of us has got to know where it is if we're going to hide it.
Oh, dear, how can we... Wait, I know. Oh, gracious, it's so simple, Daisy.
Well, what you gonna do?
Why, the perfectly natural thing. I'll go out and get a perfect stranger to come in and hide it. And then neither of us will know where it is and won't have to worry about it.
How was that again?
Well, it's all solved, Daisy. You stay right here and guard the money. I'm going out and get a stranger. I'm going to get the strangest stranger I can find.
Here, Pigeon. Here, Pigeon, Pigeon.
You know, Albert, this is why I dislike sitting in the park. You spent our last 5 cents for those peanuts. Now you feed them to the pigeons, and we haven't eaten since yesterday.
It was my 5 cents. I earned it. Who picked up the man's hat for him? I did. Clarence, you spend your income, and I'll spend mine.
I'd have an income if it weren't for you. The lady who was sitting here on the bench laid her purse right beside me. I'm certain it contained at least $10.
Yes. You would have been caught taking it, and the police would have thrown us in jail again. The trouble with you, Clarence, is you have no business sense.
Oh.
I swear you've forgotten everything that we learned at Harvard.
I'm sorry, old man. Lend me your hairpin, will you? I think I see a good cigar.
I'll be so glad when you can afford a hairpin of your own. You're always borrowing mine.
Oh, really? You've forgotten who found that piece of inner tube yesterday to put over the holes in our shoes. Who cut it in half and gave you the biggest piece?
Yes, yes, that was really decent of you, Clarence. I had forgotten. What do you say we stroll down to the bakery and smell the cinnamon rolls?
Well, you have your dates mixed, Albert. This is the afternoon we sit in the ventilator at the Bijou Theater. They're showing an excellent picture.
Well, let's get along then.
Gentlemen, wait, please.
Hold on, Clarence. We're being paged.
Little lady. She looks rather prosperous.
Excuse me for buttering in. My name is Billy Burke. Would you gentlemen do me a favor?
Well, that all depends, madam.
We were on our way to the theater.
Oh, well, I'll pay you. I'll immerse you for your time. I'll give you each a dollar.
A dollar?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What do you like this is to you? I mean, what do you wish us to do?
Oh, well, it's nothing at all. It'll only take you a moment. I have $1,000 bill at my house, and I'd like you to hide it for me.
Hide? $1,000 bill?
Yes. You know, like the game we used to play when we were children, hide and bo peep.
Madam, are you intoxicated?
Intoxicated? No, I'm an American. You see, neither Daisy or I want to know where the money is hidden, so we have to have someone outside the family hide it. Do I make myself clear?
Excuse us for a moment. Come here, Clarence.
$1,000. She wants us to hide it. Do you think she's all there?
I doubt it, but a dollar's a dollar.
Albert, $1,000.
Shall we try it?
It looks like a gilt-edged investment. What can we lose?
Miss Berg.
Yes?
We have decided to accept the offer.
Oh.
I'm Albert, and this is Clarence.
Oh.
You may consider us at your service.
Oh, thank you. You're both very kind. Just come with me.
There's one thing. You aren't going to ask us for references.
References? Oh, heavens no. I can see that you're both honest men. If I say so myself, I'm a good judge of caricatures.
Miss Burke is taking no chances with $1,000 bill which Colonel Fitz left in her care. To be sure that neither Daisy nor she will know where it is, Miss Burke has invited two strangers whom she found in the park to come to her house and hide the money. Daisy's out in the backyard hanging up clothes, and Miss Burke is in the front room with the strangers, Albert and Clarence.
Now here is $1,000 bill. All you gentlemen have to do is to hide it somewhere in the house. Isn't that easy?
$1,000. Pretty, isn't it?
Let me hold it, Albert. Is that a phony?
Oh, phony? No, no. No, the picture is on it is of George Washington or Lincoln or somebody. I don't just know who. Now, you boys hurry and find a nice place to hide it. And here is a dollar for each of you. One for you, Albert, and one for you, Clarence. Isn't this an easy way to make money?
Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is.
Clarence, I'll hold $1,000. Now, Miss Burke, where do you suggest that we hide it?
Oh, well, that's entirely up to you. I don't want to know where you put it. That's why I brought you here.
Don't be stupid, Albert. You heard what Miss Burke said. She wants us to hide it.
Well, yes, but...
Albert, the lady knows what she's doing. Why should she want to know where we put the $1,000? She has worries enough.
That's right. Mr. Clarence hit the button right on the nail. You see, Daisy and I don't want to be responsible for all that money by knowing where it is. So I'll go out in the backyard where I can't peek, and you boys find a nice hiding place where the money will be absolutely safe.
No.
I've paid you your dollars. You'll have to put it away all by yourselves. Hurry now. Hide. I'm going out with Daisy.
Why, she really went. Albert, we're wealthy men. Let's go.
Oh, where?
Where? Out, old man. Out to the Ritz Waldorf. By 6 o'clock this evening, I intend to be having breakfast in bed.
We could live well, Clarence.
Like kings, Albert. Come along.
No. No, we can't do it.
Can't do it.
She trusted us.
Albert, where is your business? It's $1,000. Gad, man. We can go to the Bijou Theater and sit in the loge.
No, I wouldn't feel right about it.
You mean you intend to hide that money and leave it here?
Oh, I'm torn with temptation.
But it's so easy, Albert. She'll never know we took it. We simply hid it well, that's all.
I don't think we should do it.
I say we should. We're partners, aren't we?
I don't like it.
Well, I do. It's a chance of a lifetime. She'll never know the difference.
But this is not the kind of a deal we can work that way. Clarence, after all...
I brought them home with me, and they're in the house now, hiding the money... You see, Daisy, there's always a way to do everything if one just thinks about it long enough.
I don't know. Somehow this idea don't sound right. Two strange men prowl around the house with all that cabbage.
What cabbage?
The money. Colonel Fitz's money. And what I see of them men through the window, they don't look too good.
Oh, Daisy, they're fine men, both of them. Simply because their toes were sticking out of their shoes and they had patches on their trousers is no reason to distrust them. They're probably artists or musicians. Really, they're diamonds in the rough neck.
Well, maybe so. But I still got a feeling there's something wrong with this idea. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
Oh, you're just imagining things, Daisy. You got out of bed this morning on the wrong side of the road. I wonder if... Do you suppose Albert and Clarence have finished hiding? Albert? Clarence? Oh, Ollie, Ollie, Ollie Olsen, free!
Don't hear nothing.
Well, they're probably... No, they've hidden the money, that's it. Let's go in and see. Oh, boy. Boys.
Nobody in the house.
Bless their hearts. They've done it. They did just what I asked them to do. They've hidden $1,000 and gone on their way. Just like the knight who folded his Arab and disappeared into the tent. I feel so much better. No more worrying about that. Oh, that horrid old $1,000.
Yeah, the only worry is now is... Where is it?
That's the lovely part of it, Daisy. We don't know. Now, if burglars come tonight and say, where is that money? We can say, we don't know. And we'll be telling the truth. I'm very proud of me.
Let's see. If the burglars say, where's that money?
We say, we don't know.
And when Colonel Fitz comes back and says, where's that money?
We say, oh, good heavens. Oh, what do we say?
I knew there was something going to go wrong, and this is it.
Now, wait, Daisy. I had this all planned out. Let me think. What? And we'll be telling the truth. I'm very proud of me.
Let's see. If the burglars say, where's that money?
We say, we don't know.
And when Colonel Fitz comes back and says, where's that money?
We say, oh, good heavens. Oh, what do we say?
I knew there was something going to go wrong, and this is it.
Now, wait, Daisy. I had this all planned out. Let me think. What were we going to do when Colonel Fitz came back?
Miss Billy, don't use that collective plural pronoun we. I don't want no stalk in this company.
Great. Daisy, when I planned all this, do you suppose I overlooked something?
I would say there's just a possible certainty.
Well, we're not going to be frightened. We've got to look at this problem in the cold light of doom.
Yes, sir.
The money is hidden somewhere in the house, so when Colonel Fitz comes back, we'll simply hunt for it and find it. There, wasn't that easy?
Was it?
Certainly, after all, there are only so many rooms in the house and only so many places to hide anything.
So many is right. You remember the time you hid Mr. Julius' box of cigars when he was going to stop smoking?
Mm-hmm. Well, where did I hide that box?
That's just what I mean. There was a box and you hid it yourself, and we ain't found it yet.
Well...
Now, how are we going to find a little hunk of paper that somebody else hid?
Oh, Daisy, sometimes you can be very depressing.
Yes, and I know.
But we're not going to be upset. The money is somewhere in the house, and if we begin to look for it right now, we'll surely find it before Colonel Fitz comes back. After all, he won't be here until tomorrow morning. Gracious, we have all evening, all night... Why, in that time, we could find a needle in a hot foot. Good gracious.
Well, when did you hide Mr. Julius's cigar box?
When did I hide it? Last May. But that's different. Money is always easier to find than anything else.
Oh?
Goodness, let's not just stand here. Let's be up and doing. Let's look. Where do you suppose they put it?
I don't know.
Well, suppose your name was Clarence and Albert. Where would you put a $1,000 bill?
In my pocket.
Oh. Daisy, you're no help at all. Goodness, help me. Try to think. Concentrate.
Well, I don't know where to start, Miss Billy. Why don't you concentrate? Use that mental telepathy stuff.
Oh, well, that's an idea. I'll close my eyes and make my mind a blank, a total blank. Then the first thing that comes into my head will be the place where they hid the money. Now I'm going to concentrate. Hush, Daisy.
See anything?
No, it doesn't work. All I can see is a shrimp salad. Well, we'll simply have to start looking. Do you suppose they put it under the rug?
Ain't nothing there.
No, just a couple of rabbit pins. Look behind the pillow on the sofa. Anything there?
2 pennies in a gum wrapper. We ain't never gonna find that bill.
Daisy, you mustn't accentuate the negative. We have to find it. There are no ifs or Andrews about it. I wonder if they did hide it in the hall closet. You suppose they could have put it there?
You see anything?
No, goodness, no, no. Oh, here's this box of old hats of mine that was supposed to go out for the ragman today. Will you take it out, please, Daisy? Oh, good heavens, who's that? Peek through the window, Daisy.
Uh-oh, excuse me, Miss Billy. I'm getting this box of hats out and back to the ragman.
Yes, but who's at the door?
Colonel Fitz. Goodbye, good luck, Sally Ho.
Oh, Daisy. Daisy. She always goes away someplace. Oh, dear. Oh, hello, Fitzy. How nice to see you.
Hello, my pretty girl. My plans changed at the last minute.
Oh.
Luckily, I don't have to leave town tonight.
You don't?
No. I received a wire from the chap on this business deal.
Yes.
He's coming through here this evening, so we'll settle the matter right here.
Mm.
Aren't you glad I'm not going?
What? Oh, yes, I'm glad you're not, of course. Yes, I'm devastated.
Well, you look worried, Billy girl.
Well, you see...
I'm glad it turned out this way. I've been thinking about that $1,000 you and Daisy loan here in the house.
Oh, yes.
Too much money. Dangerous. Yes. Should have thought about that in the beginning. Mm. Well, aren't you going to invite me in?
Invite you in? Oh, yes, I suppose so. That is, yes, do come in,
Bingo. I shouldn't have taken advantage of your kindness, Billy, asking you to keep that money. I'll take it now. You won't have to worry about it.
Oh, do you think you should carry it with you? After all, there are so many hold-uppers, you know.
Oh, I'll take it right home, just across the street.
Well...
Don't give it a thought. I wouldn't let anything happen to that $1,000.
No.
That's why I left it here with you. I knew it would be safe.
Yes,
you see, I'd trust you, Billy.
Yes.
I'd trust you with anything I had.
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
You have no idea.
Well, I won't keep you, Billy. Just give me the money and I'll go along.
Yes, well, you see,
Billy,
I am...
Nothing's happened.
Happened? Well, yes. And no.
Yes, and no.
Oh, the $1,000 is all right. It's perfectly safe.
Oh, give me a bad turn there for a moment.
Oh, did I? Yes, the money is safe. It's in the house. Somewhere.
Somewhere? Where?
Where? Well, I'm not quite sure yet.
Billy, you haven't lost my $1,000.
Oh, no. It's here. We just have to find it. It'll be sort of fun, like looking for Easter eggs.
No. Then you have lost it. But no. Where? How did you do it?
I didn't do it. You see, well, Daisy and I didn't trust ourselves. We didn't want to know where it was. So I went out and got Clarence and Albert, and they hid it for me.
Clarence and Albert, who are they?
They're men.
Obviously.
Well.
But who are they? Where are they?
I don't know. We didn't get very well acquainted. I found them in the park, and they hid the money and went away.
Do you mean, Billy Burke, that you brought two bums from the park and gave them my money?
Oh, they weren't bums. They were very nice and so eager to help me.
Oh, $1,000. Where are they?
I don't know. We didn't get very well acquainted. I found them in the park, and they hid the money and went away.
Do you mean, Billy Burke, that you brought two bums from the park and gave them my money?
Oh, they weren't bums. They were very nice and so eager to help me.
Oh, $1,000.
But it isn't gone. They hid it here in the house. They told me they would.
And you believed them. You threw my $1,000 right out the window.
Well, how can you say that? I wouldn't throw anything out of the window. Heavens, you don't think Clarence and Albert stole it?
Think? I know.
But if they were going to steal it, they would have told me. They didn't, Fitzy. I'm sure they didn't.
I'll bet you $100 they did.
No.
$100.
Well, they'd feel badly if they heard you say that, Fitzy. Really, they would. They're sweet boys, both of them. I'll just bet you $100 they didn't steal it. All we have to do is look through the house. We'll find it. I know we will.
Then let's start looking.
Yes.
Where shall we begin?
Well, we'll start at the attic and go right down to the cellar. We'll search every nook and rooney.
Thank you.
in the shadows, old man. Now, you admit we made a mistake leaving that money, and you've agreed we'll enter the house and retrieve it. Stealthily, of course.
Mm-hmm. You're a reckless businessman, Albert.
Ah.
I'm not entirely certain that stealing the money is a good financial risk.
Come, come, Albert. We must plunge.
No. No, I have a better plan. And based on sound business practice. If they haven't found the $1,000 bill, I see a way in which we may turn a neat profit, honestly.
But not $1,000.
Clarence, money isn't everything. Live and let live. Besides, I still have 35 cents for my original.
Why brag? Remember, Albert, you can't take it with you. What's your plan?
Come with me. We'll announce ourselves at the door.
Oh, it's Albert. Oh, Colonel Fitz, look, they've returned, Clarence and Albert.
Gee, are you the two ragamuffins who stole my money?
I beg your pardon. I resent the inference, sir.
Yes, you see, Fitzy, they're gentlemen, both of them.
Answer one question. Did you or did you not hide a $1,000 bill in this house?
The answer, sir, is we did. Have you found it?
No.
You see, I told you, I told you. Oh, you lose your bet, Fitzy. Clarence and Albert are men of high calico. But, Albert, where did you hide it?
Oh, I regret, Miss Burke, that I must ask a price for that information. It's business, you know.
Business? Oh, yes, $100?
I refuse. I refuse.
My business partner is a little hot-headed. We accept the offer, Miss Burke.
Oh.
We placed the $1,000 bill in the lining of a lady's hat, a red one, in a box of hats in the hall closet.
Oh. I wouldn't have believed.
Oh, they're honest men, as honest as the day is done. Pay the boy my $100, Fitzy, please.
Why, it's robbery. $100. Here.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Miss Burke. It's been a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thank you.
Now, if you'll excuse us, we must run along. We're late for the theater. Oh. Cheerio!
Oh, cheerio, Albert and Clarence. Cheerio!
Tramps. Bums.
Now, Fitzy, it all turned out just as I told you it would.
Where's the closet? Let's find that hat.
The hat. Oh, the hat! Oh, Daisy!
Yes, sir.
Daisy, did you take the box out?
Yes, sir.
Did the ragman pick it up?
Yes, sir.
Billy, don't tell me that box of hats is gone.
Oh, gracious, isn't that the silliest thing to have happened?
Silly! My $1,000 is gone with it.
Don't fluster yourself, Fitzy. I'll get the money back. I'll find it. I promise you I will.
But the hats have gone to the ragman.
It doesn't make any difference. We'll find
it. You'll never find it in this town. One hat's just like another. A hat's a hat.
Oh, not my hats, Fitzy. I'll find the one with the money in it, and we'll recognize it immediately. Why, when I wore it, they said it looked like the atomic bomb over Bikini. Goodbye, Miss Tavella. Goodbye, everybody. Till next Saturday. And remember to always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny side of life.
The Billy Burke Show is directed by Dave Titus. Today's story was written by Paul West. The part of Daisy is played by Lillian Randall. Today, Albert and Clarence were George Neese and Ken Christie. Music is under the direction of Carl Bonowitz. Tune in again next Saturday when the makers of Listerine Toothpaste again present The Billy Burke Show. For the best in Saturday listening, don't miss Let's Pretend, The Billy Burke Show, and Armstrong's Theater of Today.
This is Colonel Fitz speaking.
or if you prefer, your announcer, Marvin Miller. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.